Good morning and or afternoon and or midday. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati here in Central Texas, most specifically Round Rock, which is just on the northern border of Austin. We've also got Michael W. Dean in an undisclosed location, but we know it's in the general vicinity of Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's pretty good. I cleaned 10 tumbleweeds out of my fence yesterday, and we're not talking about like acres and miles of fence. We're talking like a fence that's like 10 feet long had 10 tumbleweeds stuck on it. But let's go back to, wait, you're from Round Rock, Texas?
I am not from anywhere. See, Facebook always asks me where I'm from, and I don't know, man. I've lived in a different place almost every year
internet,
of my life. So
from the
I'm
internet.
Not really from a place.
I
but
know.
Yeah, I'm in
you
Round
tried,
Rock
well,
right
now,
now
that we're on Tennessee, in Tennessee, you can say the fact that when you said... you tried to tell Facebook, you just go away, man. I'm from Earth. And you put Earth and it said, did you mean Earth, Tennessee?
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it was Tennessee, but yeah, some place like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But Round Rock, Texas, I didn't know this. That's where the 1974 movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre was filmed.
Ooh. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Also, there's a strange habit here of naming streets after failed bank robbers. Like the main street or one of the main streets called Sam Bass Road. And then we went to a local coffee shop and the whole thing on the wall about Sam Bass. He was just some like 20-year-old kid who tried to rob a bank and failed and the cops shot him and he died where that road is.
Well, I would say like, that with really? That logic in San Francisco, there should be like a Patty Hearst Road.
Well, but, at least she was notable. Like, she has a wiki page and everything.
A wiki page. That's what means notable to you kids.
Yeah,
Charles Manson. I've heard of him. He was referenced in South Park. No, man, these are things that, like, when I was a kid, were, like, on everyone's tongue, and they were horrible, and people did bad things. Back when people did bad things in the 70s and the 60s. Speaking of the 70s, 60s, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah, there's a Big Bang Theory episode where they go down to Texas from Pasadena, California, not Pasadena, Texas, and visit the home where Sheldon Cooper, you know, they're going to get Sheldon Cooper because he's gone home. He doesn't want to be a scientist anymore. He doesn't want to deal with the world. Mm-hmm. And they're driving from the airport in a rental car to his house, and they're looking around, and they're like passing all these mini malls and strip malls, and they're like, "This is not what I pictured Texas to look like. Where are the tumbleweeds?" And he's like, "This is not like the cowboy movies." And they're like, "No, this is more like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think."
There you go.
So speaking of tumbleweed season, not a lot of people. I mean. Not a lot of our listeners probably have tumbleweeds. I know they do in Barstow. Our friend Ben Stone used to live there, and he said they used to make snowmen out of them, out of three different sized tumbleweeds, and then he'd use like on a stick, and then he'd use dead crows for eyes, which is kind of weird.
Whoa.
Yeah, Ben's weird. Yeah. Ben's weird. That was back when Ben was weirder, though.
I remember when I was in Wyoming, the tumbleweeds were huge. Like, I had this little Hyundai Elantra, and there were tumbleweeds the size of my car that
they
I would
have to dodge
too, on the highway.
You know, they can get under your car, and if you like have a leak or anything, they can blow your car up because they'll get hot, especially
like
if you have a modern
car. Soaked
in
hot oil.
Yeah. Yeah, so the tumbleweed, here's from Wikipedia, you youngsters who like the Wikipedias. The tumbleweed's association with Western film has led to a highly symbolic meaning in visual media. It has come to represent locations that are desolate, dry, and often humorless with few or no occupants. Ding, ding, ding. That's Wyoming. That's why I live here.
You're the humor of Wyoming.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
There's humor in Wyoming. I mean,
a common use of is when characters encounter a long and abandoned or dismal looking place, a tumbleweed will be seen rolling past, often accompanied by the sound of a hollow wind. This is sometimes used for a comedic effect in locations where tumbleweeds are not expected. Tumbleweeds can also be shown to punctuate a bad joke or character otherwise making an absurd declaration, with the plant rolling past in the background and the wind effect emphasizing an awkward silence similar to use of the sound of crickets. Yeah. We were supposed to start on the radio in my town this weekend in Wyoming, but I guess it got delayed to next weekend. My wife came back from Walmart and said near the end of our show yesterday and said, you're not on the radio, unfortunately, dear. And
I thought you had figured it out before that.
Well, no, I figured it out.
Angry mob.
Yes. During the break, I looked and there was not an angry mob with pitchforks and AR-15s in my front yard. Mm-hmm. And
which is also the imagery for our film company's logo.
Yeah. What's our film?
Pitchforks and AR-15s. Ah, Angry Peasant Pod, or
Angry Peasant Films. It was Angry Peasant Podcast Company before we started making a film, or after. I don't know. Yeah. So many logos, so much art, man. We do this activism. We live in front of the computer, but we get out in the world too. So this is part two. Well, actually, it's like part 189. No, 289. I think it's episode 289. But it is a two-part series in Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Liberty series. So read this bit about how we talked about the Constitution yesterday to kind of set up where we're going with this today.
Okay. I'll read the bit. Give me just a second to find the bit. Oh, man.
We talked yesterday.
We did. Okay, yeah. So yesterday we talked about how the Constitution either set up the tyranny we have or it's been unable to prevent it. You know, we pre-talked. You can find freedom in an increasingly unfree world. We talked about disobeying bad laws. Today we're going to talk about technology, you know, like phone calls, internet, dark wallets, bitcoins, all sorts of amazing things. You know, the price of bandwidth is dropping. You know, we didn't get to that really yesterday. We didn't get to the solution oriented things. And, you know, a lot of these things people already know about and are aware of. Maybe you're not, so that the show will be useful to you. But also, these aren't just little pieces. You know, there's a cohesive strategy here. I don't even know if it's a lesson. It's not really centrally planned.
We sort of look at each weekend as a two-part single show sometimes. So if you didn't hear about it yesterday, you can go to freedomfiends.com and download it to listen to later. Although it doesn't matter what order you check out the two episodes in, because we think and speak in structured concentric parenthetical hypertextual logic that eventually gets to the same place no matter where you start, and that place is liberty. And we also talked about how technology can make you disappear from the eyes of tyranny. Poof. Give me a poof, Nima.
Poof.
Poof. Ah, I liked your use of the effects there. And basically, if I didn't fully explain this yesterday, I was experimenting with lucid dreaming. People, if your children are experimenting with lucid dreaming, that's where you you decide what you're going to dream about, and then you do it. And I've never really done that before. I mean, you know, I've like gone to sleep back in the day thinking about a girl I liked and then dreamt about her. But I've never said, I'm going to dream about this thing. And what I said I was going to dream about the other night and did was the idea that radio waves do propagate to space, and 4.5 light years from here is the nearest possibly habitable planet. It's in the Alpha Centauri region. And I have a joking fantasy. I don't believe this. I'm not crazy. I mean, I do believe the possibility there's life outside this planet. But my fantasy is that our radio show in 4.5 years after we started 6 months ago, so in 4 years, we'll reach that planet. The hyper-intelligent, highly technologically advanced life there will go, finally, intelligent life from Earth. You know, they've been monitoring all the talk radio and all the TV for 100 years now, 1,500 years. Mm-hmm. They go, wow, the Freedom Fiends are smart. We will help them with our advanced technology. They're in trouble. They don't like tyranny, and tyranny's bad. But I didn't
Because if they're hyper-intelligent, they would have figured that out. And they'll have their own look there, right?
Yeah.
If they're hyper-intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, how do nations try to do it? Like, they get nukes and then people leave them alone. There's, in the book Mulan Labe, spoiler alert, Wyoming gets a nuke and becomes basically left alone by the federal government. But, you know, we like it down to the individual level, and we're not saying anyone should have nukes and not that we should have nukes, but we're thinking more of like a defense shield where, like, you know, you could just be like, oh, tax collector, government, nanny police state, go away, get off my property. And they just couldn't get in, like a dome or something. You know, so the aliens would come and give us this technology. But here's how it worked in my dream. I actually went to sleep and thought about in my dream, how would this work out? And it was kind of this Sheldon Cooperish thing, but it was like the space aliens came and gave me the technology. And it wasn't like I got to hold on to it. It's basically, it only worked if you were pure of heart. So, you know, it couldn't be used by tyrants. So basically, it was kind of an string theory, M theory thing, which requires space-time to have 11 dimensions, which is actually, you're laughing, but that is actually a widely accepted theory of how the world works, that there's, you know, width, length, breadth, you know, the three dimensions we can see, plus time is 4, and then there's more going up to 11. And it does involve, some interpretations of this involve multiverse theory, which is alternate universes that fit within that, with the same people and different events happening in them. But mm-hmm. in my dream, it was basically the aliens came and told us how to slip into those other dimensions. So, like, you know, the tax man comes and suddenly, like, your house is just an empty field or something like that.
Right.
So that's how it works.
I always figure stuff like that, though. We're always in the other dimensions, too. We just don't know what we're doing in the dimensions. We can't see them. We can't experience them. But, yeah, I guess theoretically the aliens could have it to where you can stop moving in the dimensions that we do experience.
And this could be used. This could be used to protect all the liberty people from all the tyranny people. It could be used to, you know, get people out of prison who are in prison for horrible things. It could be used to, you know, keep the drone from hitting your house. It could be used for all sorts of useful things. So that was my fantasy, and I made myself lucidly dream that, and I liked where I went with it.
Yes,
so,
yes.
But the thing is,
I've had fantasies like that. Aliens don't bring it, you know. It's
great man
theory,
though.
Stuff like that could be developed here.
It's great man theory, though.
It's wanting a savior.
It's waiting for a savior,
us.
Yeah, or wanting yourself to be the savior after that savior gives you the technology. You know?
Which is always fun. There's a comic book on bigheadpress.com called Lemuse, and it's a superhero who she's actually from a different dimension. She doesn't realize it till later in the comic, but she uses her superpowers basically to do all the things that we do. You know, she disarms every nuke in the world, and all the leaders are like, what?
Yeah.
She disarms like all their tanks and drones.
Yeah,
like,
I like Big Head Press, and we really like Scott Beezer. He's a good comic, good writer. You should go check his stuff out. Even though he's not advertising with us currently, we will say you should go check out with him because check him out because we dig him. Yeah, so the great man theory isn't going to work. It's more like more people have to get educated and use technology and have it and use it regularly. And I'm not just talking about having rifles. We have rifles. We're rifle people. We're gun people. But it also involves like printable guns, Bitcoin, encryption, WikiLeaks, everyone having a cell phone for video, filming cops and soldiers, citizen journalism, podcasting, internet where everyone can publish, BitTorrent, Pirate Bay, etc. It's a great time to be alive, man. Not just...
It's the great market theory
as
opposed to the great man theory.
And, you know, people do criticize libertarians for thinking that the free market... Oh, free market will fix it. Free market will. But it's not like fairy dust. It's not magic saying the free market. It's basically saying.
No, all that means is that if people don't point guns at others, then things will be okay.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's real simple.
And we'll have more when we come back from the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show coming to you straight from the 10th and 11th dimensions. I'm Nima Vedati here in Round Rock, Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. He's down in the seventh dimension. How's it going, man?
Yeah, when the ninth and tenth amendment fail to protect you, the tenth and eleventh dimension will. That's the kind of ads we're going to have when we get this working. Like, that's going to be our ads on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we talked about the Constitution a bit yesterday. We're going to talk a lot more about it today, and we're not bashing constitutionalists. We just think it doesn't go not far enough, basically. We used to both be constitutionalists. We're technically registered Republicans. I haven't voted in a couple cycles. And unlike California, who like, they're like, you're our voter. California, when I moved to Wyoming, wrote to me for 4 years, like found my new address and kept writing to me saying like, here's your voter red. Like they, I guess they wanted me to vote in California from Wyoming. Although in Wyoming, if you don't vote for one cycle, you get a postcard that says, if you don't return this postcard and sign it, you're not on our voting rolls anymore. So the, I like that. They, you don't vote, they take you off. When I told my dad, who's a 91-year-old constitutionalist, Republican, very conservative, Baptist guy, you know, hates the gays, really, really old school, good guy. I like him, but you know, he's really
hates the gays.
No. I don't like that he hates the gays because I don't hate the gays. Uh-huh. But he, when I told him that I decided I wasn't going to vote, he was out here visiting me last year. I told him I don't vote anymore. And he sat down like he was having heart palpitations. I mean, he sat down.
He shed a tear like the Indian in the PSA.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I had told him, you know, I was leaving my wife for a 9-year-old Filipino boy, he would have been less harmed. But it's like, that's kind of this thing they tell you of like, you have to participate in democracy. It's what our forefathers fought and died for. And it's like, that may have been true 200 years ago. It may not have been. It's certainly not true now. You know, if you're voting now, when your choice is Barack Obama or Romney, you know, who initiated Romney Care, that everyone, all the Republicans were like, we got to vote for Romney because at least he's better than, he's a Republican. Obama's going to give us Obamacare. And it's like, which is based on Romney Care.
Yeah. Even Judge Napolitano says, I mean, is voting really the answer if both parties are the parties of big government or the party of big government? And he's as constitutionalist as it gets, man.
We like him.
He was a judge.
Yeah. We like him. We like Ron Paul. Most people who say they uphold the Constitution who are politicians don't and haven't read it. And most people who are citizens, a lot of people who say we got to go back to the Constitution haven't read it or have only read the Bill of Rights. Now, we're going to go into a little bit of why the Constitution can't save you and why saying, like putting your whole game on the Constitution is going to lead
eggs in one Batman is not good.
Yeah, it's going to lead to you in chains because basically people like Barack Obama, Dick Cheney, Peter King, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, and Representative John Sensenbrenner, the Republican who introduced the Patriot Act,
and who says that I'd shoot a pregnant woman.
Yeah,
is what he says.
Yeah, yeah, and Peter King, who's used to fund the Irish Republic Army, who are sort of considered terrorists, but for some reason, I guess that's maybe why they put Peter King on the terrorism subcommittee. Like, I guess he knows it.
They're lighter skin terrorists. Everybody knows that lighter skin terrorists are smarter than darker skin terrorists.
Who thinks that? And you're darker skin, man. Nima Vedati. No,
it's
the
joke.
Nima Vedati. He's not
say that lighter skinned blacks were smarter than darker.
Okay.
It's a joke.
Nima Vedati. He's not a Muslim, but he's got the beard of an imam. All right.
Yeah, it's almost as long as the beard of your mom.
My mother's dead, and we've said this before. Yeah. All right, so we're going to – basically, when you say, well, yeah, I believe in the Constitution only, and that's going to save America, and we just have to get good men in there who follow it. First of all, good men wouldn't follow it because people who want to become politicians, with the exception of, like, Ron Paul, basically – everyone I've ever heard of from the left or the right who becomes a politician, who has what it takes to become a politician? And by that, I mean, you have to be sociopathic and driven and believe you're right and everyone else is wrong and be power hungry. That's the only way you can get to be a politician. So
And not only this, but there's a great corollary to this that Stefan Molyneux brought up that I hadn't really thought about, is that there's unwritten contracts between politicians and their donors that the politicians will actually make legislation or enact affect things in favor of their political donors. And if they don't, guess what? The word will get around in an anarchic way. These are contracts that are unwritten. They're unspoken rules, anarchic rules that aren't anywhere because they can't be. But if the politicians don't obey the donors' wishes, guess what? They're not going to get funding next time around. They're not going to be a politician anymore. Their career is going to be over. So if you ascend to the level to where you can vie for the presidency, that means you have been a corporate, I don't want to say the word, for so long that you're at that level now.
I don't want to say the word because it insults people who have sex for money, is basically what you're saying. Yeah.
Right.
All right, we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com for more.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Freedom Fiends.
All right. Indoctrination. No, sorry. Inoculation from indoctrination. That's what the Freedom Fiends are. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing?
I'm good. We're tasing you with liberty on the Freedom Fiends. And another tagline, if you want to use it, is Freedom Fiends. So much coffee, it hurts. Man, I drink heroic amounts of coffee to do this show just because I like it. It's like drugs to me. I love it. We're talking on the radio. We're on 15 stations. We're talking to people. We're dropping mad science. We're paving the roads, man. We're saying stuff that nobody else says on the radio except for Free Talk Live. It may get us droned. It may get us kicked off radio. It may get pitchforks in our yard. But yeah, it takes a lot of coffee, man. I literally drink about a pint of coffee each segment, and then have to use the facilities during each break, which like isn't normal. Like I,
the facilities.
You know, I don't have a problem. Yeah. If I didn't do that, I would explode because I'm drinking so much coffee. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we are a regiment in the info war, so it's not the facilities; it's the latrine.
Ah, thank you, Private. Thank you, Soldier. Private. Thank you for your service in the info wars.
Yes,
All right. So it is a contradiction to be a constitutionalist and also say, I don't want the government to tell me what to do.
Ah, yes, that's a beautiful sentiment, and I wish more people would understand that. And that is part of our mission, our directive here at the Freedom Fiends, is to let people realize that contradiction, because the Constitution basically sets up a system where the government gets to tell you what to do.
Yeah, most constitutionalists say they don't want the government to tell them what to do. And they should pick a side in that because you can't serve those two masters. And the side we pick is we don't want the government to tell us what to do. But the Constitution isn't going to protect you, especially if you don't read it. And we're going to read some of it today. Because you know who's a constitutional attorney and has read it for decades so they can figure out how to use it against you? Barack Obama. Most federal politicians are attorneys, and a lot of them are constitutional attorneys. He taught constitutional law in a college, which you know, these days means teaches you why it means you should love your federal family and give up your guns. But
Here's why I think people can have that contradictory thing in their head, that double think, as George Orwell would have called it, the double think of I don't want the government to tell me what to do, but still loving the Constitution, is because they think the way it works is the government will tell other people what to do and they'll be left alone because they're law abiding citizens, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah. And what's going to happen when all these people who are law abiding citizens, you know, who are proud of, I obey every law, you know, I register my guns. What's going to happen when they legalize pot to get Hillary elected and the Republicans are against it because they're dumb and forever they've been like, oh, we can't let people have marijuana. They'll be happy. They'll be happy and relaxed. We want them terrified and upset. And, Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, so the Republican, you know, yeah, they'll run someone horrible like Peter King instead of someone good like Ron Paul. And it'll lead to Hillary being president, Hillary Satan Clinton being president.
I think they're going to run Jeb Bush just because they have that kind of sick, twisted sense of humor that, yes,
they like dynasties.
Decades later, it's like going to be Bush versus Clinton again.
They like king-like dynasties, even though that's what the revolution was fought against. Yeah.
Of course they do.
So they're going to bring in read the general welfare clause. There are two general welfare clauses in the Constitution, and there's a lot of stuff in the Constitution that takes away your rights, but these are two of the really big ones. And one of these is the one that Nancy Pelosi probably correctly said is why it's constitutional to make you buy health insurance. So read these. There's two of them.
Yes, yes. So the first is the preamble, which you probably learned in second grade.
I call it the pre-mumble.
The pre-mumble.
Yeah.
Right. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, which is capitalized welfare, is, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Yeah, and they spelled defense with a C, which is the – they did that several times in the Constitution, which was the British way. I mean, what are they like – you know, you're starting a new country here. Spell it right, man. Spell it like a American.
It wasn't really an American way yet. I mean, what are they going to do? Just start replacing letters randomly so it doesn't look like British English?
Those shepherd's pie eating surrender monkeys, the English. They were trying to get away from that, man. Why didn't they – so read the other general welfare clause.
Yeah. Well, this is actually called the taxing and spending clause.
Yeah.
People complain about, you know, Republicans like to complain about those tax and spend Democrats, but hey, they're just being constitutionalists.
Hey, Thomas Jefferson invented, you know, was the he was in the what is today's Democratic Party. The Republican Party didn't start till Lincoln. So tax and spend Democrats, I mean, Thomas Jefferson
was
one.
They're the founding fathers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes. Duties,
to lay and collect imposts. Taxes. That sounds like they have the ability to just sit
trap.
Around.
Yeah, I'm going
to
lay down some taxes.
Or they could just sit around while the taxes get collected. They can lay and collect taxes.
Right. Yeah. Like hedonism bot.
They can
sleep. Don't have to
they can make
money,
while they sleep with taxes. Yeah. Okay, go
All
on.
All right. Yes. But not only taxes, but also duties, imposts, and excises.
He said duty.
Yes.
Beavis.
To pay the debts and provide for the common defense, with a C, and general welfare, once again, of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States.
There's nothing in that that says they can't tax you any amount for anything if it's for your own good. That's what I read that as, and I think that's what any – you know, Jefferson said – that the Constitution was written at the time in plain language. This wasn't really much legalese for the day because people were smarter. And the common man who could read and had been to high school, you know, the one-room schoolhouse, was supposed to be able to understand this. And I can understand it. It's pretty simple. It basically says, we can collect taxes for your general welfare with no limitation. Yeah. There's no limitation in this.
Right, right. It's exactly how Spooner painted it, that the government will send a man to your house who says, hey, you owe us this amount of money for our protection services that we provide you. And you're like, what? I didn't hire you. And it's like, that doesn't matter. That's our business, not yours. Hand over the money.
Yeah, all right. We call that the aggression principle, which is what all governments are run with. The threat of the barrel of a gun to the head if you don't comply to whatever they scribble down on sheepskin. Well, actually – a lot of people say the Declaration or the Constitution was written on pot, on hemp. It was not. It was the drafts of it were.
Drafts of it were.
Because it was it's cheaper. It was the scratch paper at the time. But the Constitution is written on vellum, which is sheep. So, you know, it was people writing by sheep, for sheep, on sheep, basically saying, all right, everyone gather around this great new thing, this representative democracy, and cheer for us while we tell you how we're going to tell you what is good for you and then do it to you.
Yeah, yeah. Behind closed doors, too, man. Yeah. They shut doors at the Constitutional Convention.
I mean, that famous story when Franklin came out and the lady said, "What kind of government are you giving us, sir?"
And she, "Are you imposing on
us?" Yeah, and he said, you know, came out from the closed room and said, you know, "A republic, if you can keep it." And America, like, my dad loves to tell that story, and he doesn't really know what it means. He doesn't really see the ramifications of a bunch of people went behind closed doors, kept other people out they disagreed with, and then wrote stuff down and then imposed it on a bunch of people. And and also, you know, a republic, people say it like America's not a democracy. It's a republic. Well, like, that's a noble thing. Iran is a republic. It's in the name. The Islamic Republic of Iran.
Of Iran.
North Korea is a republic. China is a republic. So republic does not equal bastion of liberty and freedom.
Excellent.
You know,
point.
We're in the company of North Korea, Iran, and China as far as freedom. And
and the USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republic.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, people got to stop saying, "Hey, man, we're not a democracy. We're a republic." And what that really means is you don't get to vote directly because you're not smart enough. We have great men who are smart enough to vote for us and we elect them. And are they smart? Are they smart enough? I mean, basically, a republic says people are too stupid to make their own decisions, but they're smart enough to pick the people to make the decisions for the stupid people.
Yeah, yeah, which is a beautiful disproof of thinking that a republic or some kind of representative thing or even democracy itself is a good idea. Because if your argument is that people are too stupid to govern themselves, then how on earth would they be smart enough to pick somebody good enough to govern them? If they don't know what good governance is, if they're not smart enough to achieve that, then why are they able to delegate that? You can't delegate something that you have no ability to do in the first place.
We're not saying there should be kings, but the average citizen in America right now is more in danger of being harmed, jailed, or murdered by the U.S. government than a colonist was in danger of being killed under King George. The Constitution either set that up to happen now or was powerless to prevent it, as Lysander Spooner said. Yeah. So when people say they want to go back to like this America when America was good, we need to go back to the Constitution, I hear. We say it's an America of the mind because it's like it didn't really exist. I mean, do you want to go back to like slavery or do you want to just go back to like, you know, high child mortality rate? What do you want to go back to? After which amendment? The 10th? Slavery was still legal. You know, after the Bill of Rights, some people want to freeze it right after the Bill of Rights because the Bill of Rights did put some brakes on it. But slavery was still legal. If you want to take it just back to the 11th Amendment, that limits the ability of citizens to sue states. The 12th Amendment, it provides the procedure for electing the president and the vice president. The 13th Amendment, it abolishes slavery, which is good, but the wording also newly allows a court to sentence anyone to slavery after that,
right,
which is bad. Mm-hmm. So it's an America of the mind. I think it's also based on like, you know, Mayberry RFD and Leave It to Beaver. People, my dad looks at those things as like, that's how America is in his fuzzy memory at 91 years old. And it's like, it wasn't really like that. And it's like, it wasn't real, man. Mayberry wasn't real. It was a 40-acre back lot at Desilu Studios in Culver City, which is Los Angeles, basically. It also, I mean, and that doubled for the Old West in a few episodes of Star Trek and the Twilight Zone.
Lots of tumbleweeds.
Yeah, with tumbleweed, like, brought in, probably from Wyoming. Leave It to Beaver was filmed on the Universal lot in Universal City, California, which is basically Los Angeles. It's the same lot, the same street they film Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Desperate Housewives. So it's like, that's not the America of the mind. It's like, it's Desperate Housewives. You just pull a different backdrop up, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And the 14th Amendment basically makes it to where everybody's a slave because it makes it a function of your birth. It says at the beginning, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state where they reside. So it basically says you are born into this, which makes it, in essence, a social contract very similar to what slavery was in the first place. You're born into your servitude. You don't get to choose your master. We will assign one to you.
Yeah. We'll be back with more on the America of the mind and how to get to reality after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's insider baseball. What do we say about insider baseball and why?
Not your grandpa's anything. Not insider baseball. That's like really technical jargon, stuff that would only be of interest to insiders and people who aren't on the inside of the game, aren't really going to want to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we explain basic principles almost every show. Like, it's something I noticed about a lot of talk radio. Like, Rush Limbaugh uses a lot of, and Glenn Beck, use a lot of terms that they made up or they appropriated or people don't know. They kind of assume, it sounds like they kind of assume that all their listeners are long-time listeners, not first-time listeners. Yeah. So we are new on radio. We're 6 months on radio. We're on 15 stations and adding about one every other week or one every week sometimes. So we're, you know, we're interested in explaining our basic concepts to people because they're a little different. I mean, we did this whole rant for almost an hour now about what's wrong with the government. And we wondered if people were thinking, well, how do you think people should pick the politicians? But we need to explain we don't want politicians, you know. And this is kind of shocking to some people, like even to small government Republicans who are like, I want the government to be reduced to the size that it can be drowned in a bathtub. And we're like, why stop there? And they're like, oh, wait, well, you'd want that would be chaos in the streets and armed roving bands. And we're like, not really. And don't we have that now? Isn't that what SWAT teams are kicking down doors for pot and, you know, 11 round mag clips for your semi-automatic assault weapons,
who are much more powerful than any roaming bands could ever gain that power in some kind of anarchy? Because not only do they have unlimited funding, but they also have a veneer of legitimacy that no roving band in a sans government area could ever achieve.
Yeah, I mean, if my door is kicked in by a roving band of gang members and I shoot them, to protect myself and my family and shoot them with my my assault rifle. It's not really assault rifle. It's a semi-auto. It's a crippled assault rifle. It's what citizens are allowed to have. The slaves are allowed to have in America. You know, probably no prosecutor in Wyoming would try to prosecute it because he wouldn't get reelected if someone shot in self-defense in their home. But, you know,
if you struggled too much while the SWAT team was pressing a gun against your neck,
When they're at the wrong address, when they're trying to raid a meth lab, you know, four streets over and somebody puts down, you know, 27th Street instead of 23rd Street. And yeah, they would either shoot me and kill me, or, you know, if I was like, stop, you're breaking my neck, then they'd arrest me for resisting.
Right. Yeah. Right. Stop resisting, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing is people say, well, who would be our politicians? How would we pick our leaders? And you would bring something up to them like this. Well, why do we need that? What do politicians do? Think in your head real quick, people. If you're thinking I'm an insane person here, think in your head. Tell me, what would a politician do? What do they do? What do they provide to us that's so great? Because
they lay and take taxes.
Right. Well, I feel like there's a disconnect there because a lot of people hate politicians. They think they're sleazy. They get a sense that they're not up to any good.
They're right.
And they're right. But at the same time, they think they're necessary. And why? And I think that's why people come up with things like roads, because it's the only thing their brain can come up with that they can see in physical reality that they actually use and find of benefit.
Yeah. And you know, my answer to that is always the roads are already built, man. I want to know who's going to build the roads to the 11th dimension. And the government is the basic startup, like, impediment to any kind of business is so steep that even if you could come up with the travel to the 11th dimension, you know, printable time machine, the government would either you wouldn't be able to get it off the ground or the government would stop you. Any government, not just this government, any government. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or they would kill you and steal it and use it as a weapon.
Right.
Like they did with Tesla.
Yeah. And one of the things I've been finding has been getting traction among people, because I used to go with the tack that, well, you know, a society where roads are as important as they are in our current society, that's been pushed that way because of government regulations, restrictions, laws, subsidies. You know, society could look very different. Maybe roads wouldn't be so important if there weren't things like the Department of Transportation. But I find that kind of goes over people's heads. So what works better lately for me is saying, well, think about CNN, think about Fox, think about the billions of dollars they make, think about how they have the best cameras, the best software. They can bring people back to life in the form of holograms. And the only funding they get is advertisements. And so how can you tell me that nobody would be able to find profitability in a road system with simply advertisements?
Billboards.
We already have that. We have billboards. Maybe the road owner would charge for the billboards and would be able to make a business model to where he gets paid enough off of that to where he finds it profitable to build roads.
But we're going to talk about even bigger solutions than the minutiae of the roads in Hour 2. Hour 2 is going to be all redemption, all solution, all not just complaining and pointing about the problem. And if you don't get Hour 2 because you're in Amarillo, Texas, and they only carry Hour 1, call your radio station and say you'd like to hear Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends.
And after you've done that, go to freedomfiends.com, and then you can listen to any archive, anytime, anywhere. Thank you.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends Worms.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends on the radio.
And this guy heard an echo there. That was Freedom Fiends.
Hour 2. Hour 2 of Freedom Fiends. We're going to play... I'm going to play a little clip from a song here going all the way back to 1982. My old upstairs neighbors in San Francisco, a band called MDC. Millions of Dead Cops is one of the many things that stood for, and we're not advocating that. It was just a feisty name, and they never shot anybody. But this is a little snippet of their very kick-butt version of the Cream song Politician, which is about the sleaziness of the people that you want to run your lives when you vote. I've been reading that book, Radio Waves, the history of freeform 70s FM rock radio. And I'm like, that's what we did on college radio in the 80s, man. This is my heart. This is my soul. And I was reading in here. He was like, yeah, you ranted about Richard Nixon and then played the song Politician by Cream. And that's when we got thrown off the station. And I was like, that sounds cool. I mean, I don't want to get thrown off the station, but you know.
But you want to rant about Nixon and play a song by Cream.
And I'm like, yeah, but the Cream one, and we queued it up and we're like, man, it's really kind of slow. And I'm like, oh yeah, my upstairs neighbors, the band Millions of Dead Cops from San Francisco, did a little faster version of that song. We could play that. So the politicians, they want you to step into their big black car so they can do horrible things to you when no one's looking. That's what they do, man. That's what politicians do. And
people think, like I said earlier, that they think they're going to be left alone. The politicians aren't going to hurt them, but the politicians are useful because they'll protect them from all the people who would hurt them. And I have to say things like, well, here's the thing. The politicians are getting paid by somebody. They're getting paid to run. They're getting paid to have their campaign. Well, they're stealing from you in the first place. But also, the way they get to that point where they can steal from you is they have to have campaign donations. And so the big businesses, the corporate interests, the people you're so worried about having too much power, they have the power anyway. And in a state society like we have now, they have the power, but they also are the ones who have the legitimate power because they co-opt the state, and then people think whatever the state does is good. So it's less of a naked, aggressive power. It's more couched in terms of legitimacy.
Couched. Speaking of couches, this should be an ad. Make money while you sleep. Become a politician. Lay and collect taxes.
Lay and collect
taxes. It's in the Constitution. Yeah, become a politician. Yeah. Lay and collect taxes. That sounds like the stoner boyfriend sleeping on the couch and saying to his girlfriend, is, you know, sleepily as she's going to work, have fun at work, baby. What are you making me for dinner when you get home?
I'm gonna have the munchies.
Lay and collect taxes. Yeah.
Except unlike the lazy, mellow stoner boyfriend, the government will beat you for not making the dinner at the end, for not remitting the taxes.
Yeah, the government is more like the meth head drunk boyfriend who's got a really bad attitude.
Right. Yeah. And I do want to take this opportunity to plug a project of my own. I'm doing like a mega mix of anti-government, anti-state, anti-establishment, anti-power lyrics. If you can think of any, go to my Facebook page, and there's a long thread.
I'm laughing because that's like
most
good music, and that's all I listen to.
Exactly.
And we're not anti-government per se. We're anti-bullying, and all governments are the biggest bullies of all. So we want to talk about how technology has changed despite the government, because a really good example is bandwidth, you know, getting a signal from point A to point B. It used to be just radio, and you had to be licensed to be on radio. I mean, the stations need a license, and they're worth lots of money, but the people on air, when I was on college radio in 1983, I had to get a license from the FCC. But not only that, it's like, your cell phone, I mean, you can talk to anybody in the world on Skype for free, you know, from your cell phone anywhere in the world right now. And the audio isn't great, but it's getting better. Neem and I are in different cities right now. We are talking over a bunch of technology that some of it's cheap, some of it costs some money, some of it costs a lot of money, but we're not in the same room, man. We're 1,200 miles apart from each other. But we want to talk about When I was a kid, I talk about how my sister, through the Rotary International, my dad was a member, she was an exchange student and went to Africa for a year, South Africa, and we got a Belgian girl who lived with us for a year. And we called my sister once while she was in Africa, and it was like $10 a minute. We had to go through an operator. We had to plan it ahead of time with the operator, with the phone company. My sister had to, you know, we sent her a postcard and said, be in front of the phone a month from now at this date. My mother let me talk to her for a minute, and I had to write down on a 3x5 card what I was going to talk about, because that's how valuable bandwidth was back then. And here's a little recording that's accurate from the TV show Dragnet from 1954 of making a long-distance phone call.
Long distance?
I'd like to place a person-to-person call to Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Fountain Green, Utah. That number is 14R2.
Fountain Green, Utah, 14R2.
That's right.
Your name and number, please.
Joe Friday, and this is Hempstead, 8594.
Thank you. Rate operator. Fountain Green, Utah. Route and night person rate from Los Angeles.
TC Mount Pleasant, Salt Lake, night person 140.
Through Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant.
Fountain Green.
Fountain Green.
Fountain Green, 14R2. Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Los Angeles, California, calling.
Thank you. Ringing operator.
Hello?
Mrs. Hannah Lasky, please. Los Angeles, California, calling.
Oh, yes. Hang on, I'll get her.
Waiting on your party, sir.
Thanks. Getting through all right, Joe?
Yeah.
Lucky. Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Ms. Lasky. Yes?
Yeah. That is mind-blowing, man. That's like, that file's like a minute, 40 seconds, and that's,
yeah.
You know.
And that all happens almost instantaneously now without having to hire people to do that work. It's all software. It's ones and zeros that make those informational exchanges. And I actually was at a junk shop a couple weeks ago, and I saw one of these giant boards that the telephone operators used. And they're like little, quarter-inch inputs and mail outputs. And they would just pull these up and put them into the appropriate slot, and they would have to do it by hand. And I'm thinking that's an amazing amount of work that is done now completely seamlessly. Nobody even thinks of it. And this is what technology does, is it allows you the freedom to not have to do that work that used to be actual labor. Now it's automated.
Yeah, and you know what kept it from getting to where it is now quicker? Was the government. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, the government provided phone. No, they didn't. The government had a government-controlled legal monopoly and had one company running the phone company. And at one point, the technology caught up to where, like, you know, companies wanted to get into business, and they made the government or lobbied the government, or the government was tired of running a losing money business or something, and turned it. They busted up the the Ma Bell thing.
That ill communication.
Yeah, and they got out of the way, and then it started getting a lot cheaper, basically.
Right.
Yep. The same thing's happening now in third world countries. In Ghana, Africa, our friend there has told us that, like, you know, it's impossible to get a landline there because the government has it so locked down. But cell phones aren't quite as locked down. Not everyone has them. Not even most people have them. But there are entrepreneurs who get a cell phone, and then they basically become a phone booth. Like, there'll be like one guy in a small town with a cell phone.
Nice.
And you'll go to him and give him a little money or a chicken if you don't have money, and you can make a cell phone call on his cell phone.
Right. And here's the thing is, I think that's a beautiful example of the fact that governments, politicians, they're old school, man. They're low bandwidth. And this is the reason why in places like Ghana, you see technology moving so much faster, whereas the governments are still moving at a snail's pace. They surely want to be able to regulate the cell phone industry. They surely want to be able to regulate all the technology that people use. They just move too painfully slow. And that's why technology can run circles around them. And so why do you want a system that's so old and so slow and could do nothing but lay around and collect taxes to organize society when you have things like technology and private industry and people just doing what they want to do, moving so much faster to provide for what people want? If that works so much quicker to give people what they want, why don't people want that more?
You know, I got to say, I just remembered something of like that led to me wanting to be on radio. It was when I was about 10 in 1974, 73, 75. I went and visited my sister who was in college or out of college and living in Boston living on what's the hill there? The famous hill where they had the battle? Bunker Hill. Yeah, she's living on Bunker Hill. Bunker. kind of living a hippie lifestyle, like, you know, with a shacking up with a boyfriend and, you know, they had incense and candles. But she had a job. She was a hippie with a job, which I respected. Her job was she worked at the phone company there. And I went in to work with her one day. She was like, oh, I have to go in and record something. And she went in and recorded. And she was the voice, you know, for like a year in Boston around that time. She was the voice when you called, like, I'm sorry, that number's out of order. And she went in on a Saturday and had a list of like 8 phrases and she read them and a guy recorded them on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And that was part of her job. And I was like, wait, my sister does like, I didn't even know what to call it. I guess it was voiceover, professional voiceover, you know. And I was like, wow, you mean like if I call the phone and the number's out of order in Boston, I'll hear you? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, thousands of people hear your voice and they pay you? Yeah. And it just like something went off in my head. And like 30 years later, I'm on radio telling people what's wrong with the government.
Yeah. Wonderful. But yeah, man. So that's the solution is don't wait around. Don't think about all the time and effort it takes to make a change. People always say, well, just work within the system if you want to change. But that takes years or decades. You may not get what you want. And if you do get what you want through the political process, the people who are opposed to you, like in Colorado, will then just place new restrictions on what you wanted anyway.
Well, part
they'll
of
find
what,
workarounds to part still of tyrannize
what took,
you.
Part of what took so long for Ma Bell to get slaughtered and buried by the government so almost real competition could happen and technology could drive the price down and, you know, competition could make things happen without the government in the way. Part of it was a jobs program for operators. Like operators were opposed to the automated systems and were like had lobbyists and fought and were like held it up a couple years. Like we don't want, you know, no, where these operators won't have jobs. You'll have something that instantly makes the call, and we want to be paid to take 2 minutes to make the call.
Yeah. Holding society back because they're too lazy to fill out new job applications or update their resume. How awful is that? We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. So, Nima.
Yes, Michael?
We talked about what it took to make a phone call in the days of Leave It to Beaver. Yeah.
Beaver Cleaver, yes.
Yep. And Brad, kill your speaker there, Brad. Brad's rocking out too hard. So yep.
All right. Yeah, anyway.
So we talked about what it took in the days of Leave It to Beaver. In the America of the mind that people say they want to go back to when America was good. You want to go back to when it took 2 minutes and cost $1.40 to make a phone call? No, I don't think so, man. Technology.
$1.40 back then. That's like 10, 12
that's
bucks now.
More. Isn't it? That's like, I think it's a Cadillac. I think you'd buy a new Cadillac in 1954 for $1.40.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we were talking about different kinds of journalism on the break, and there's this thing called bulletproof vest journalism, at least that's what I call it. And it's kind of what you wanted to go to school for, right? It's what my wife went to school for. You went to school for it. And I'm kind of glad you're not doing it. But it's where you go to a war zone, you know, as a correspondent. And when I was a kid, back in the America of the mind of the 70s, I watched these guys on the Vietnam War was the first war where they had that, you know, where they had guys with cameras. But the guys with cameras in the Vietnam War were hired by the U.S. government. They were from Stars and Stripes. They were very careful of what they showed. And now it's like everyone has a cell phone and anybody can do bulletproof vest journalism, and it's dangerous, but then there's people who do it really well. And we want to talk about this movie, Dirty Wars. What is Dirty Wars, Nima? We both watched it yesterday. I think it's the amazing first time we've ever watched the same movie the same day, because you're so busy.
Oh, and I hipped you to this one. I've been wanting to watch it for a while. Jeremy Scahill, who's actually a great investigative journalist, I've said on the air before to go read his reporting on Somalia, because people like to say about people like us that if you don't like government, go move to Somalia. And I say, no, read Jeremy Scahill. Somalia is not any kind of libertarian paradise, man.
No.
It's a war-torn region that's war-torn because of American foreign policy and Americans paying warlords over there to do murderous state things.
Yeah.
But Scahill actually did a book called Dirty Wars, which the subtitle, I think, is The World is the Battlefield. And the main theme of it is how JSOC, you know, this what used to be a small elite force, is growing, and they've expanded the war on terror immensely to include countries pretty much everywhere all around the world, undeclared battlefields, going in there, doing night raids, doing drone strikes, having kill lists that eventually the lists got bigger and bigger in the movie, as Scahill reports, to where now there's not even really a list. There's targeted areas where they have free reign,
where they'll just kill any male between 15 and 75 because they might be a combatant.
Right, right. And I think why you brought this up with bulletproof vest journalism is there's a scene where he does go to Somalia, and he's not one of these embedded reporters. In fact, the movie starts out, he's in Kabul with all the other government-sanctioned reporters being led around by U.S. military and NATO military, and he decides that he's not getting the real story. He's like, well, what about this raid here that's far away? The NATO reports say something that I know is wrong. So he hires a guy to take him up into the mountains of Afghanistan, where most reporters dare not tread, and he learns that there was a night raid here, and he knows that there's a bigger story here. This is before he really knew that JSOC was kind of running the show, and the people there tell him that, hey, my son was killed. He was trained by the Americans. You know, he was military police.
Yeah, he was not Taliban. Basically, they're killing some Taliban, but there's like probably, I don't know, 50-60 to 1 ratio of like for every bad guy they get, they're killing 50 or 60 innocent civilians, goat herders. And the way this works is like, you know, this goat herder doesn't like that goat herder because that goat herder grazes his goats on some places as he likes. He'll go to the CIA and say, hey, that guy's Taliban, and they will kill him. You know, like yeah. There's a Dead Kennedys line like about if the moral majority ran America, and it says, you know, mad at your neighbor, don't bother to nag, pick up the phone and turn in a fag. You know, like he was envisioning a world where like you could turn in your neighbor for homosexuality and they'd jail him. Well, it's worse than that by far in the Middle East. It's like, you don't like your neighbor, you know, he runs his goats into your property, call the CIA and lie and say he's Taliban. They'll murder him and his whole family. Yeah.
Well, I think it's more than that, too. I think the overarching theme I got is JSOC or SOCOM or whatever you want to call it. They're led by McRaven, wanted to increase their bandwidth, so to speak, increase their relevancy, increase their budget and their funding. And so they wanted to make it look like they were doing a lot of things. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from. And he notices in this night raid, you know, there are pregnant women killed. And one of the things that sort of jars him to his core initially and makes him realize something really creepy and scary and big is going on is the soldiers or the people that were raided report that the soldiers then pulled out the bullets of these people they killed. They pulled out the bullets with knives.
Yeah.
To cover up the fact that it was them. And then he found cell phone video of them talking to each other, explaining what their story would be after the fact, these people that did the murders. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yes, and this music you're listening to on the Freedom Fiends is going all the way back to a couple years ago with my band Right Arm of Wyoming with this song, Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And you can get Right Arm of Wyoming. Go to the Freedom Feed site. Go search Right Arm of Wyoming. It's free. And you can go to freedomfeeds.com and get buttons and get back episodes and learn more about liberty at freedomfeeds.com. That's Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. If you're a military man or a ham radio operator and know NATO alphanumeric alphabet. Yeah. So, Nima, JSOC.
Yeah.
I just put on my clean JSOCs. My JSOCs were dirty. J-Sox.
Yeah, most people, on my feet.
Most people don't know what JSOC is, but it's basically the spear tip of the military-industrial complex, and it's something that started in 1980. It was basically started with like one SEAL team and then grew into its own army that's basically running the U.S. government. Here's – if you want to know what JSOC is, search online, find that picture, Obama gets Osama in the war room. Get that picture. There's a picture of Obama – and Hillary Clinton and a couple other people sitting in the war room watching on a screen that you can't see that's off screen of Osama being killed or the operation, like probably from the helmet cams. And Hillary looks aghast and she actually looks like, wow, maybe I'll really get to be president. And she, the thing is, she's not in the seat in the center. She's not, nope. I mean, he's not, Obama's not in the seat in the center.
Nope. He's Obama, off to the side thinking about his next tweet.
Yeah. He looks like a bored teenager. He's literally leaning in the corner, looking like he's composing his tweet for, I just killed Osama, you know, but he didn't kill Osama. The guy who's sitting in the driver's seat is the second in command in JSOC, who looks like he's trying to figure out how to open PowerPoint or something on his laptop.
He does. He's got a confused look on his face.
Because, you know, they took the U.S. into war with Colin Powell's PowerPoint presentation. Yeah.
People are like, wow, PowerPoint.
Like,
okay,
really?
We'll
okay, there's
say.
Weapons of mass destruction? All right, let's send American youngsters to go die for the military-industrial complex. And I'm
blurry
not
photos,
I'm not
check. Red I'm, arrows,
yeah,
check.
I'm not, you know, that sounds anti-American to most people. I'm not, like, criticizing the troops, you know? My son is in the Army. It's like, I'm saying these crazy people who sit in chairs and order mass murder, including of American citizens, with PowerPoint presentations based on lies, those are the people running the world, man. It's not even Obama running the world. And I hear people saying, well, good, Obama shouldn't be in the front chair in that because I don't like him having that much power. And it's like, no, Obama has that much power. But this guy you've never heard of from JSOC, second in command, sitting in the chair, he has more power than Obama. He's running it, man.
Yeah, yeah. How scary is that? And how cheap is life to them? I mean, this is one of the things that struck me watching Dirty Wars is nobody's apologetic. Nobody cares. He gets to talk to some JSOC people, and they're just talking about this like this is just a business operation, like how many pepperonis they ordered for being the manager of the Domino's. And that's all life is to them is a not even a pepperoni, but one single piece of cheese out of a whole cup or two full of cheese.
That's the pregnant woman that was killed in that raid where there were actually no enemy combatants.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And Scahill gets to interview Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, who's like, well,
he's
the father
of the Patriot Act. I mean, Dick Cheney probably, you know, had his intern write it 5 years earlier and had it in a drawer. That's my theory. But Sensenbrenner was the Republican who sold the Patriot Act. And all the Republicans went, yeah, man, Patriot Act, protection. It sounds patriotic. And it's like,
it sounds patriotic.
What we're learning now is it's basically the, you know, indefinitely detain the Patriots Act.
There you go.
That's what it'd be called.
But yeah, Scahill's talking to Sensenbrenner like, hey, man, an Afghani police chief and pregnant women in his house were shot. I mean, what's the process of investigating this? And Sensenbrenner's like, I don't know, an investigation. What are you talking about? I would have shot some pregnant women, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, that's just how war is. War is like that. But why does it have to be that way? Why would you send JSOC to do that anyway? That's the question that Scahill's trying to ask. And he comes through this Dirty Wars at the end realizing that it just seems like it's all about JSOC's own growing power. And he interviews a guy who's in a silhouette who says, JSOC's in 75 countries. We're a hell of a hammer searching for a nail.
Ugh.
And it's all about just expanding their power, expanding their prestige. And in the beginning of the documentary, he can't find any info on JSOC. It's very hard to track down.
They start contacting him. Yeah.
They start contacting him. But then after Osama bin Laden's killed, you know, they play all this footage of people cheering in the streets and chanting USA, USA. And he says, you know, after 10 years, maybe people are looking for closure. But the thing is, that wasn't the closure.
No, it was the end of the first act. It was like they didn't say the war on terror, and it wasn't. It was like, OK, we need to ramp this up and get into more countries and get more people trained for JSOC. That was what happened in Congress.
Right. Yeah. And you may say, well, look, here's what's going to happen is that's a great thing. Now that we've proven we can go and take out these people who want to do us harm, let's just go do that everywhere. But what you realize, because Scahill actually goes, he's got his boots on the ground, so to speak, as an independent investigative journalist. And he talks to the people who saw these atrocities, who he goes to Yemen and realizes that a whole Bedouin tribe was eviscerated. Just one woman
evaporated,
left and her daughter.
And they couldn't tell the goat guts from the human guts was how they put it, basically.
Right. And there was not even a cleanup operation to take out the parts of the cruise missile or the Hellfire missile. I can't remember which one it was.
Oh, they showed like parts of cruise missiles with like, you know, the manufacturer's serial number on them with U.S. manufacturers. Yeah.
Yep.
And this movie Dirty Wars, it's great. And we've been saying for years, you know, where is the anti-war left? Where are the people who were calling George Bush, rightfully calling George Bush a baby killer in the streets in mass during Bush? Now that Obama, it's like crickets and tumbleweeds, man, not a peep. Where is the anti-war left? It's this guy who made this movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's Jeremy Scahill.
Scahill.
And he's a lefty, but he scathes Obama in this. And he points out that Obama is a murderer in this. And he talks about...
And Rachel Maddow says, that's not true.
I know. Rachel Maddow is just a propaganda arm for the state, just like most of the right-winger pundits. You know, they're all lying. And we on the Freedom Fiends are not anti-self-defense. We're not anti-guns. I have a gun within grabbing distance of me right now. We believe in self-defense, but this is not self-defense. And from a tactical standpoint, it's only going to lead to more murder of Americans, more terrorism in America. It's blowback. Basically, when you bomb a wedding party with 50 people to kill one person who might be a bad guy or is a bad guy, and you kill 50 people, you know, the males, the young males that are the relatives of those people are going to take up arms against a country they didn't even understand before. One guy calls America the Kingdom of America, and he's not being ironic. He's not being ironic. He thinks we're called the Kingdom of America. He can't find us on a map. But after you blow up his grandson, you know, his cousins are going to go, that's the only thing we want to do now is fight this. Think about, and I don't want to be like, I don't want people, I hope people aren't thinking like, oh, he's humanizing the enemy. He's the new Jane Fonda. No, man. The
enemies are humans.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with humanizing somebody who's a human?
Yeah, and there are bad people over there, and I'm not saying don't go get them, but I'm saying, like, the tactic is horrible. The tactic, think about this, American gun owner, constitutionalist. If someone from Cuba came into your town and blew up your daughter at, you know, at her wedding, man, at her wedding, and you lived somehow, would you say, oh, well, those Cubans, they're okay, I'm not going to go? No, you would devote your life to murdering people in Cuba who were responsible for it. Or maybe all Cubans. Or maybe you'd try to destroy anything that's Cuban in any way, man.
Yeah.
You would go after it.
Well, there is one of the tribesmen in that first raid who the pregnant woman was his wife and his soon-to-be daughter. And he says, you know, I wanted to go put a suicide vest on. That's what he tells Scahill. He says, I mean, he obviously didn't because he's there talking to Scahill, but he says that's the feeling that was going through him. And if you imagine losing your wife and your daughter, and that's all you had the reason to live for, and all of a sudden the reason for you to live is taken away, you don't care if you die in a suicide bomb. I mean,
we're not saying it's a good thing. We're saying that's how people feel. And this endless war on terrorism, the way it's being taken care of and being done, is going to lead to an endless war on terrorism. It really is.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it, man. And Al-Awlaki is a really unique case in this, because Al-Awlaki was an American citizen and they droned him. They killed him without a trial. That's unconstitutional. Beyond that, they killed his teenage son who wasn't radicalized, but basically they killed him like some Greek tragedy, you know, took out the son to prevent him from seeking redemption, you know, retribution for the sins of the father. Is that what America is? Is that what you want your America to be? When you're saying, yeah, we got to obey all the laws and support the troops and support the war. It may not be a good war, but you can't speak ill of it. You know, it's really dangerous ground. It's like, I don't want to speak ill of the troops. I don't want to speak ill of people who, you know, have been so poor they have to join the army whether they want to or not. Or people who do it out of sense of patriotism. But it's like, these generals, these people, these JSOC, the president, the people higher up are sending people to be murdered, to murder people, to create more people who will want to murder the people that we'll have to send our sons and daughters over to be murdered by.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's the old saying of, you don't want to let a crisis go to waste. Maybe they've figured out that the more crises they can create, the more power they'll have. I mean, I can't really see in their head what's going on. It's got to have something to do with that, expanding their own power. And whether or not it's a stupid or evil thing, maybe the answer is just yes. You know, it's stupid and it's evil. And you know, we knew all this stuff, and we've talked about Al-Awlaki and his son, Abdul Rahman Al-Awlaki. We've talked about how his son, 16-year-old kid, had a Facebook page, was in like the drama club or some kind of after school activities in his American high school. He's somebody that might come home and eat dinner at your house. That's the kind of person he was. And he just wanted to go find his dad. And he was droned a week or two after his dad was droned, to where the only thing left of his body was a piece of his skull with his hair on it. That's the only way they identified it, because he had long curly hair like I do.
And, you know, He wasn't black, he was Middle Eastern, but he kind of looked light-skinned black. I mean, I think he looks more like, when Obama says, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. No, if Obama had a son, he'd look more like Al-Awlaki's son. Really, he looks kind of like young Obama. And Obama had this kid murdered, and then who was it who said, well, the kid should have chosen a better father?
The White House press secretary at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people were pressing them on this. A lot of people were. And Obama's even said something like, you know, I'm you know, he's tried to say that I didn't know about this and it was an accident and tried to play it off like that. But I don't know. That's the same thing with the Constitution. Either you failed to prevent it or you caused it. It's one or the other. Either way, you have some responsibility.
Now, why should the average American who does, if they don't care what happens in the Middle East and they don't care about the military spending their tax money to kill people, but why should they still care that an American citizen and his American citizen son, who had nothing to do with it, were murdered by the president without a trial? Why should the average American care about that, Nima?
Because they are American citizens, too. I mean, that's the precedent, right? I mean, there's the old saying that if you don't get rid of your empire, be prepared to live under it.
Yes.
And it was groundbreaking for them to do that, even though they did it overseas. But that seal has been broken. An American citizen has been assassinated by a sitting president of the United States. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah.
All right. Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us. We're at the end of our time here. This is the last segment. That means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review.
Freedom Fiends.
I don't know if we have...
Yeah, Nima, tweak it, baby, tweak it.
Tweak it, tweak it. First, tumbleweeds are cool. Yep. Go, Michael.
That's it. I got tumbleweeds in my yard. I actually cleaned them up. We had 10 tumbleweeds on a 10-foot fence yesterday. So
okay.
They tumble. There's wind. It's
next
good.
Next up, the Constitution is not your savior. You know why? Because it's a contradiction to be a constitutionalist and also say, quote, I don't want the government to tell me what to do. Guess what? Look at the general welfare clause. Look at their ability to lay and collect taxes. That means they get to just lay around and collect your taxes.
And shoot you if you don't pay them. And general welfare clause, the one they loved so much, they put two of them in the Constitution.
Right. And obviously interstate commerce, which means they get to control what you do, what you sell, what you buy, how you buy it.
And apparently now they can make you buy it with Obamacare.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I saw a really good.
They can make you not grow wheat in your yard.
Wheat.
That happened during.
I said wheat, not weed.
I said.
Although
wheat,
during the Great
weed.
Depression, they wouldn't let my dad fight in World War II because he was a farmer, and they made him stay home. And he grew weed. He grew hemp. He looked at that
hemp for victory.
Yep. They sent him a pamphlet of how and hemp seeds and said, "You need to grow this because we need it for rope." And then later they said, if you smoke that, we'll throw you in a cage.
There you go. The Constitution, man, it's a prop on the America of the Mind soundstage. And people who say they want to go back to it, they're just trying to make a collect person-to-person call back to 1954.
Yeah.
It's a fiction. It's old school. It's low bandwidth.
Leave it to Beaver wasn't real, man. And it's shot on the same soundstage as in the same setting as Desperate Housewives, which I guess is the new America of the Mind.
Unfortunately. Oh, man. how far down have we gone? All right. But there's room to go up to greater places. You know, all that stuff, it's what we call the great man theory. It's the waiting for a human savior fallacy. And that's not what real progress is about. That's not what's going to save the world. No. What's going to save the world is printable guns, Bitcoin, encryption, WikiLeaks, everyone having a cell phone video. Let's pause on that because that brings us back to Dirty Wars. Some of the information that helped Scahill to find and really break the story of JSOC really being in control of the new Terror War and making it a forever permanent war, like George Orwell dreamed of in 1984, the permanent warfare that will keep the people in line and keep the government stealing all of their prosperity. But Scahill was able to find cell phone videos of people who were in that first night raid, you know, people who lived in a tent or little bunkers out in the middle of the desert, you know, very what you would, I guess, consider simple people.
Yeah, of
they
U.S.
had, they had
of
better
US
phones
soldiers.
Than Michael.
Yeah.
Eh, what's that, Sonny?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of U.S. soldiers' hands reaching down and talking in English and digging bullets out of people that they'd murdered. Digging them out with a gun. Now, if you saw on Law and Order or CSI, like
with a knife,
yeah, if you saw, like, yeah, it appears that the bullet was dug out by the murderer with a knife, you'd think, man, not only is that a murderer, that's a dirty murderer. But there's cell phone footage of U.S. troops doing that to people who weren't combatants. Man,
right,
man, yeah, that's what you're paying for with your taxes.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that ability, but the ability to pass this information through better channels like the internet. You know, Jeremy Scahill in that movie, he goes on the talk show circuit. You know, Jay Leno jokes about, I can't believe you're still around. I can't believe you're here today.
Which
I don't know if
he's like for or against Scahill getting droned. I mean, Jay Leno is one, you know, we love America Republican. There's like four of them in Hollywood and he's one of them. So I don't know if he's saying you should be droned or if he's saying, man, I hope you don't get droned, or maybe just neutral, like you could get droned. But
yeah, I think he's just making a joke because he's Jay Leno.
Yeah.
But instead, because there are things like reading stuff online, and I don't read The Nation, I don't subscribe to The Nation because I'm not lefty like that, but I was very aware of Scahill's reporting well before that because Scott Horton tells me about him, and antiwar.com will reprint stuff about his stuff. And so these kind of things that are mind-blowing can get to anybody through their normal channels that they do on a daily basis. They don't have to go through the old media gatekeepers anymore.
Yeah, man. The genie's out of the box with the slaves being able to talk to each other. Government doesn't like it, but there's not a lot they can do about it.
Yep, about it. And we're talking to you folks, and you can join us for our Wednesday show and join us next weekend on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.